80s Valero.
Throwback Thursday, baby.
Ah, Throwback Thursday. We're at the BB&T Center, by the way. You've got Panthers hockey tonight. It's the Avalanche in town. Tuesday when we were out here, Panthers kicked the crap out of the Bruins.
5-0.
Hopefully we can kick the crap out of another team from that area, the New England Patriots, on Sunday.
Maybe Luongo can come play for us.
Put him out on defense.
Hell, safety.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Ben Volen is there. He covers the NFL and the New England Patriots for the Boston Globe. Friend of the program, used to cover the Dolphins down here. Hello, Ben.
Guys, that intro music makes you want to get my machine guns and bury my face in a pile full of cocaine like Tony Montana.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting vibe to bring you on there,
Ben,
man.
Misses Miami.
He misses Miami. Who wouldn't miss Miami? Very cold. I'm imagining it's cold up there, Ben.
Yes, Thanksgiving Day, it was a wind chill of zero. And so it hasn't been that bad since then, but I'm ready to get to the beach and rock a tank top this weekend and soak up all the sun that I can.
Today is a very special anniversary in the annals of Miami Dolphins history. Would you like to hear what happened on this exact day? What year was it, Crowder?
Oh, I don't even know. 08, 09?
Valero, what year was it? Do you know?
09.
I think it's 09.
09. Would you like to hear, Ben, what happened on this date in 2009?
Yeah, I would love to hear, actually.
Okay, play it, Valero.
Cameron Wake on the field now, the pass rushing specialist. Going after him, got him! Oh, he got the football, but he picked off! Channing Crowder with an interception at the 38-yard line, and this football game is all but over! The Miami Dolphins have come from a 14-point deficit to beat the New England Patriots, 22-21 here at Landshark Stadium.
How about that, Ben? Channing Crowder intercepts the GOAT to seal the victory for the Miami Dolphins.
Now, I know this week we were able to make a federal holiday for George H.W. Bush. Do you think we can get Marco Rubio on the phone or someone to make a federal holiday, too, for this big anniversary?
So it's funny, because someone on the text machine, when I played it earlier, someone texted in on the text machine, this should be a Miami holiday. Like, we should all have the day off for this, because it was Channing's only interception in his NFL career, but damn, that's a pretty good one to have on your resume, no?
I planned on making more plays, man. It just never came.
I planned on being an astronaut. I don't know what happened either.
How many names ago was Landshark Stadium, by the way?
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable span, right? Even the BB&T Center where we are right now, where the Panthers play, this started as the National Car Rental Center. Then what did it become after this? Do you know, Tree? I don't even know what the history of this building is. Is that ever a good investment on a company's part?
A stadium?
Being associated with a stadium?
Oftentimes the place, I think, goes out of business. Wasn't this the Office Depot Center at one point? I think this was the Office Depot Center at one point.
Not that it'd be profitable because people keep buying them.
But not profitable. I mean, it's marketing. It's branding. You get your name out there all the time. I'm certain. What is it for the Patriots? Gillette?
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you're associated with a team that wins all the time. I mean, Gillette didn't know what they were getting into when they agreed to, agree to the sponsorship deal with the Patriots. But I think it's worked out for them pretty well. How often do we say the name Gillette? You know, 72
right.
million times during the season. But like, if you're the stadium name for the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know how well that investment pays off.
Right. Yeah, on something like that, because like the American Airlines Arena where the Heat play. I mean, during the Big Three era, I mean, you're on national TV. 50 games out of 82.
But does it offset now when you're not on TV?
Yeah, I don't
at
know.
All?
I don't know.
That would be the question.
I do not know. All right, before we talk Finns Pats on Sunday with Ben Volen here from the Boston Globe, are you surprised that the Dolphins are 6 after 12 games? I mean, they've suffered some injuries and they're still 6-6 and in the hunt.
So, yes, but probably not what you want to hear. I'm surprised they're 6-6 and that they're not worse. Their point differential is minus 56. That usually means you're a 4-8 team, not 6-6, and they've done a good job of winning some close games at home. Pulling it out against the Bears, the Raiders last week against the Bills, but like they're not beating good teams. And I think they started 3-0, and then since they've become a 3-6 team, and I think they're probably more on that end. They're 29th in offense and 29th in defense. Have just been inconsistent at quarterback all season. Tannehill in and out of the lineup, so. I give them credit for winning these close games and being 6-6 and in the playoff hunt when, frankly, I don't know if they really belong to be there.
And as you watch Tannehill, Ben, you were down here, you saw some Tannehill, now you're gone, you're, you know, watching him a little less than you used to. Like, the same evaluation, is it changing? Is it swinging positive, negative? What's going on with your assessment of Tannehill?
I mean, I can't say I've watched a ton of his throws this year. I thought that touchdown he threw last week over the middle, the flying receiver, that was a pretty impressive throw. And, like, that's been Tannehill's career. He makes a few throws every game that you're like, wow, that is an awesome NFL-caliber throw. Not just NFL-caliber, like an elite athleticism type of throw. And he has the potential. But it's now year seven, and he hasn't quite put it together yet. And now he's starting to deal with knee injuries and things like that that might sap him of his athleticism a little bit. I don't think he's necessarily been given a great shake. They're all constantly changing the personnel around him, and the offensive coordinator and the system just has not had any stability. But you know, he's not improving, and he's not showing great pocket awareness all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Tannehill just take a sack in the pocket where he doesn't feel the pressure and he doesn't feel the rush coming. I was asked earlier this week, you know, will Tannehill be back next year? Obviously, I don't have any firsthand knowledge. If you look at his contract, it's actually, it looks expensive, but for a quarterback, I think his contract next year is fairly reasonable. So even if they do draft a quarterback, and I imagine they're going to be pretty heavily invested in the draft again this year, you still might be able to bring Tannehill back and have sort of an Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes situation where maybe Tannehill plays one more year before giving way to the rookie. But, you know, Tannehill's got talent, but he's just been inconsistent. Now these injuries are starting to worry me.
And, Ben, when people ask me about Tannehill, I say an attribute that I say Tom Brady has, man. And it just, you know, when I played him and now he knows when to, and it sounds crazy, he knows when to give up on a play and just throw it out of bounds. Is that a you know, a good assessment of what Tom does? Because I've seen plenty of times, first read, second read, third read, oh, yeah, they got us. Boom, out of bounds. I don't think a lot of young quarterbacks are good at that.
Yeah, it's a big quality of what makes Brady successful, you know, live to see another day. What's interesting about Brady is one criticism of him this season is he might be giving up on plays a little too early. When they had that bad loss to Tennessee a few weeks ago, he had clean pockets and a lot of time to shuffle around and make something happen, and he would just throw the ball in the guy's feet or throw it away on purpose. And there have been whispers that at 41 years old, maybe Brady isn't as willing to take the big hits this year, and maybe, you know, because of his whole off-field TB12 brand that he's trying to sell and how he's trying to defeat Father Time, that he doesn't want to get hit and doesn't want to get injured. Now, I thought he did a pretty good job of standing in the pocket the last couple weeks against the Jets and the Vikings. I think he heard that criticism plenty after the Titans game. Then they had a bye week. So 2 weeks of Brady hearing how he was giving up on plays too early. But you'd still rather them do that than turn the ball over. The worst thing you can do is sit in the pocket too long and be a sitting duck for a big strip sack or anything like that, or try to force a throw. So Brady has definitely been good at that. But at times this year, he's definitely been a little too quick to throw it away.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is with us. With the Ryan Tannehill conversation, like we talked about, you know, you get towards the end of the seventh season, and again, there's the question of, well, if he had stability, like you said, or if he has a complete season where he's not injured. But can you answer, is this a fair question after seven seasons? Will you ever win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback? Because if the answer is no, I don't think you have to ask a single question beyond that. Like, you kind of know, I would think, after seven seasons, right? You know whether this guy is ever going to be your quarterback in a Super Bowl victory. And if the answer is no, what else would you need to find out?
I'm with you, except the only thing that troubles me is the guy who won the last Super Bowl. I mean, Nick Foles.
Right.
Like, that was the whole analysis of last year's game is, well, you know, the Eagles are great, but it's Tom Brady versus Nick Foles, and there's no way that Brady's going to lose to Foles. And then he does. So, you know, in a perfect spot, if the Dolphins, you know, recreated the Killer Bees defense and brought back Ricky Williams and Jason Taylor and just, you know, had a perfect season and a perfect pieces around him, could Tannehill do it? Yeah, I think maybe he could. But, you know, the injury thing is definitely a concern because it's now 2 years in a row where it's happening to him. And he's an athletic running quarterback, and injuries are not good for that. And, yeah, most likely you're going to see it early on, like, Russell Wilson or, you know, Pat Mahomes hasn't accomplished anything, but you can tell the kid's got it. And you just haven't quite seen that from Tannehill. But you have to remember, it's easy to say get rid of him, but what are you replacing him with? And if you're the Dolphins and you want to draft a quarterback again and go through that whole thing again, I mean, look what's happening with the Bills and the Jets this year. They might have their quarterbacks, but these are lost seasons, and the Dolphins really cannot afford to keep having these lost seasons where they're going 3-13 and there's no fan interest. So that's why even if they do draft a quarterback, I still think they might be better off keeping Tannehill for a year because they can't afford to take a step back under one of these rookie quarterbacks again. They've got to try to keep building and keep winning. And part of the problem with the Dolphins is they just keep changing everything every 3 years. Coordinators, schemes, players, you know, just having to – like, look at the Bengals. I know it's not the best example, but they've had some incredible stability under Marvin Lewis, and they made the playoffs a bunch of times. So, you know, I think, honestly, stability is probably what the Dolphins need the most.
And thinking about Sunday, why do the Patriots lose? As I look at it, something jumps out, Ben, that the three losses that the Patriots have, 9-3, Jacksonville, Titans, and Lions. Titans are coached by Vrabel, and the Lions are coached by Matt Patricia. Is there some kind of explanation of why those ex-coaches seem to come and dominate, actually, beating them by, what, 16 and 14 in those games? Why did his predecessor, why did his tree branches, why are they coming back and beating Belichick?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's those teams' Super Bowl. And, you know, any team that plays the Patriots, that's usually their Super Bowl. Like the Jaguars in Week 2 also. And those teams, they all just completely collapse emotionally after beating the Patriots. The Titans did, the Jaguars did, the Lions have been pretty up and down this year. But, I, you know, I think you give Matt Patricia and Mike Vrabel a lot of credit for kind of knowing all the little tricks that the Patriots like to do and having their teams prepared for it. You know, Mike Vrabel said it many times after the game, like, they didn't give the Patriots anything, and that's such a big deal. Like, they didn't give them the easy quarterback sneak, and they didn't let them beat them with personnel changes and weird formations. Like, the Patriots do a lot of the gimmicky things, and it works very well to their advantage. And the Lions and the Titans, they know all those tricks, and they had their teams ready to play. The Patriots have not been as good on the road this year. They're 4-3 or 3-3 on the road this year, and those three bad losses that you mentioned. And this is going to be another challenge for them down in Miami. That it always is. They've lost 4 out of 5 down there, but. You know, I still ultimately think the Patriots are playing better. They had a good road win 2 weeks ago against the Jets. The defense is playing really well right now. They shut down Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, held them to 10 points last week. And just the Dolphins, you know, their struggles on offense. Xavier Howard's going to be out on defense. I think it'll be a closer game. It won't be a blowout like it was back in week 4 or whatever it was up here in Foxborough. But actually, I do like the Patriots' chances this time down in Miami.
Ben Volen, Boston Globe. He covers the New England Patriots and the NFL. Quickly on the way out, Ben, is something lost if you hire a company to put up your Christmas decorations? You don't do it yourself?
Not exactly the most personal touch, I would say that. But it's easier, and it's a lot easier to just throw some money at the problem instead of doing it yourself. So that's right. The American way, right?
So you're okay, Crowder.
He doesn't. Money and no problem. I throw elbow grease.
He doesn't think that your NFL wealth is getting in the way of you enjoying Christmas like the rest
Ben,
of us.
I don't hire anybody.
Mere mortals. Ben, thanks for making time for us, man.
And Channing, a sincere congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you, Ben. I don't know how genuine that was, but thank you.
I like watching Crowder have to accept compliments because he's not good at it. Not many people are good at that. It's especially in what we do, which is, you know, just insult each other nonstop. When someone does give you an actual compliment, I think that was an actual compliment from Ben, and you, because you don't know what to do with it, just took it as he's being snarky.
But is it a compliment? It's so far removed.
That's a big deal.
Okay, Lou the salesman, he outsells everybody in January. Lou the salesman outsells everybody in March.
That's
the following October. You say, "Hey, Lou, last March, big dog, great sales month."
But if you outrated or outsold the greatest salesman of all time,
what's the man's name? The sales movie you love.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, Glenn and Glenn. He outsold Glengarry Glen Ross, doubled their sales. 3 years later, you don't tell him about, oh, great month.
I know. I totally
No, you leave Lou alone.
Mrs. Nyborg, hello. I could do Glengarry Glen Ross lines all day. Unfortunately, only me and Barry Cohen would get it. So.
And he's coughing half the time, so he wouldn't hear anything.
Hello, Mrs. Nyborg. All right, we're at the BB&T Center. Panthers hockey tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come right back.